2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now thank God for everyone who has been able to make it to the conference tonight and who will be gathering with us tomorrow. But wouldn't it be a great way to leave this weekend conscious of the fact that we are going to stand before our Lord and our Savior, and that we would try in the fear of God to live the rest of our days to please Him in light of seeing Him face to face. A tremendous outcome for the Winnipeg Conference if that gripped our hearts. Because God is keeping a record. Just the same as we preach from this platform in the gospel that God is keeping a record. God is keeping a record of our lives, how we are spending our time, what we are contributing for His glory. God is keeping a record. I want you to turn back to Judges chapter 4. You have been hearing some excellent ministry on commitment, faithfulness, trustworthiness. And am I a committed Christian? There are great needs facing us today, 2009. And what am I doing personally? How committed am I? Am I doing everything I can to build up, to edify the people of God, to build up the things of God? Am I committed? Or am I just along for the ride when it suits me? There are pretty dark days in Judges chapter 4. Verse 4. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. She dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, I used to say Barak, the son of Abinom out of Kedesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali, and of the children of Zebulun, and I will draw unto thee to the river of Kishon. Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kedesh. And we won't read the entire story. Deborah was quite a woman. She was one of the judges of Israel during a very dark period in Israel's history. And for 20 long years, Sisera and his 900 chariots of iron had mightily oppressed the children of Israel. The days were dark, and they were despondent and desperate. And it seemed like Deborah said Enough is enough. It is time to get on with business for the Lord. We're not going to allow Sisera to continue to plague us and harass us and to fight us and to oppress us and to keep us under his dark, powerful hand. It's time to take a stand. This was Deborah that says it. She says it's time for action. And so she goes to her 5-star general, Barak. And she says, Barak, it's time we got our act together. We're God's people. We don't need to be cowering in fear. Let us go forward. Now for this 5-star general, he said to the judge, he said to Deborah, well, if you will come and stand right at my side, I'll go. She says, you can count on me. I'll be right there at your side. Just because I'm the judge doesn't mean I'm going to keep sitting under this tree here. I'm going to go right to the battle with you, to the forefront. Count on me. Committed Deborah. Count on me. And so they rally the tribes and they fight against Sisera. And Sisera was defeated. If you read the rest of the story, and it was time to celebrate, it was time to sing. And that's where you get to chapter 5. Look what it says. Then sang Deborah, teasingly I could say, then sang Hillary and Barak, but I better not go there. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinom, on that day, saying, praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye... Wouldn't you have loved to have heard this duet? It says, then sang Deborah and Barak. The two of them, standing there, I don't know who the audience was. But here's the two of them, singing away. Praise the Lord! What a duet! Some of you might think Howard and Vestal were good in their days. Or maybe you think Selah is good. Or the Newsboys. This is Deborah and Barak singing a duet, praising the Almighty God. And I don't know whether you've ever looked at the lyrics of their song or not, but this is where commitment comes into it. Am I a committed Christian? We hear about committed employees, committed parents. Someone is a committed golfer, avid golfer, they say. Oh, photographer. Oh, she's a serious photographer. You know what they mean? They mean she's a committed photographer. Even if she has to get there at 8 o'clock and she has to go 120 kilometers an hour, if she sees a bald eagle in the field, she slams on the brake, puts it in reverse, and whips out her camera and takes a picture of the bald eagle, even if she's late for the appointment, because she is a committed, she's a serious photographer. Others, they say, well, very astute business person. Or a dedicated volunteer. What do they mean by a dedicated volunteer? You can just count on them. They're so dedicated. A faithful employee. And you've just been hearing about commitment. And as you read the lyrics that Deborah and Barak sang, it's quite long. We're not going to read it. Definitely not going to sing it. We weren't left with the notes. But look at verse 15. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar and also Barak. He was sent on foot into the valley. For the divisions of Reuben, there were great thoughts of heart. If you have a new Barry, it's great resolutions. Why abodest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleatings of the flock? For the divisions of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart. Gilead abode beyond Jordan. And why did Dan remain in ships? Asher continued on the seashore and abode in his breeches. Ah, Zebulun and Naphtali were a people that jeoparded their lives unto the death in the high places of the field. The kings came and fought and so on. You see the difference there? Men from the tribes of Ephraim, Benjamin, Zebulun, Issachar, they joined the action. When the rallying cry was made, Barak stamps his foot and says, "Forward, march!" There were those who marched step in step with a 5-star general and Judge Deborah. They were there. When there was a job to be done for God, they were there. Count me in. I won't let you down. Urgency is required. Count on us. They contributed whatever they could to the fight. No big surprise. That was to be expected of these men. But I'll tell you what gripped me more in these lyrics was the record, the permanent record, of those who knew about the need but really contributed nothing. And we'll go over them, but while we are going over them, see if you can see yourself in them. Where you fit, what category are you in? Where do I fit in this? What's it say? It said, Reuben had great resolves, great thoughts, searchings and stirrings in his heart, but stayed among the sheepfolds. Ever met a Christian like that? Huh! You got 5 minutes? I'll tell you what's wrong. I'll tell you what they need to do there in Winnipeg. I've got the answer for the prairies. I've been mulling this over in my mind for a good long time. I know what the issues are. Oh, if I could just move under the oversight there, I could call the shots. What is it? Great resolves, thoughts, searchings, stirrings in his heart. Yes, count on me. I'm with you all the way. But for all the good talk, they didn't contribute. Do you know anybody like that? Over a cup of coffee, they have all the answers and all the things that need to be done, and a long list of things that aren't being done. And just, you would almost think, well, we just gave them the key. They could solve this in a jiffy. Like, this is, no, I mean, when you listen to him talk, it's not a great problem. What are the rest stewing over? Listen to the wisdom that's spewing out of his mouth. But yet, Reuben, he had all these great intentions and great resolves and the stirrings in his heart, but he was all talk, no action. Oh, I know what we need to be doing in the gospel here in Winnipeg. We need to get out there and up and down these streets. We could have 4 children's works going on simultaneously in different parts of Winnipeg. You can just hear them. Great resolves, great intentions. And if you only visited them for a night and flew back out, you would think, well, they're the only ones that have a fire burning underneath them. But when it really comes down to the wire and something needs to be done in the local assembly, are they the ones that are there? Are they the ones that are helping out? That was Reuben. All talk, no action. Gilead, Gad. Oh, he knew about the threats, power of the enemy. But for one reason or another, he chose not to cross the Jordan to help out. I don't know. Maybe he said, look, if the Jordan wasn't there, I would certainly help you out. But you know how it is at Jordan. You've been across that before, Gad. You've been over there before. And Jordan wasn't the obstacle. But now there's a big task to be done for the Lord. And the rallying cry has gone out. Oh, but the Jordan. I can't. I would, but I can't. Do you know any? Have you ever found yourself rationalizing why you're not involved? Why you're sort of allowing yourself some leeway? Letting yourself off the hook? Well, you know, my circumstances are just a bit unique. And, well, you know about the last 6 months, don't you? Yeah, well, oh, I certainly, there's nothing nearer and dearer to my heart than that. And I know this is absolutely vital. Look, there's not a doubt in my mind that this needs to be done. But really, it's just the wrong timing for me. Like, there's this, ever found yourself there? Like, we can let ourselves off the hook so easily. It's easier sometimes for us to commit to a game of squash every Tuesday morning before we go to the office. See you Tuesday morning. And as you're leaving the gym and you've played your rough game of squash and you're wiping the sweat off your brow and you're saying, well, next Tuesday morning, 6:30, got it booked. It's strange that we can commit to things like that. But sometimes we find it really hard to make these commitments to the things of God. Well, if I can't make it out on Wednesday night, I can't. I remember having gospel meetings in a university city. And, you know, they, just as you've been hearing, there were the faithfuls there every night of the week. There's a bunch of university students, and they couldn't make it out, not even one night. Well, but Peter, you don't know. You never actually did anything much at university. What do you know about the rigors of university study and academic life? We can't make it out to the gospel meetings every night. We can't even make it out one night. Well, there was one night that we had to cancel the meeting. It was a blinding blizzard. It was a Thursday night. And so we had to cancel it. We heard on Friday morning that a carload of those university students had to get a tow truck. They were going to the gym to play. They play basketball every Thursday night. And who cares if it's a blizzard? It's basketball night. And they were determined to get to the basketball game until they had to get a tow truck to tow them out of the snowbanks. Isn't it strange how we can be so committed to things that we love? Isn't that what we've been hearing about? If we love something, we commit to it. If love grips our heart. And I sometimes think that when I am not a committed Christian, it's a reflection of my love for the Lord and my appreciation for the Lord. And so Gad couldn't go because, well, it's just the Jordan. And what about Dan? Did he get across? Was he willing to help? Oh, no, Dan was swamped. It was the busiest time of year for the shipping industry. See, it says that. He stayed with the ships right there. Like, why did Dan remain in ships? You know, any other time of the year, I would have been right there, but don't you know? This is the Mediterranean is just packed with ships. They're coming and going. The cargo, the ships are loaded. I'm in the shipping industry. I couldn't leave. How about this time of year? Did you ever try to plan meetings? Gossip meetings? Well, no. You can't have them in April, May, and June. They're studying. It's their final couple of months, and they're studying. Their nose is right to the grindstone. They're into their books. They have their finals, and everybody's so restless. You can't have them in April, May, June. Well, what about July or August? No, come on. July, August, those hot, sweaty months. We all want to get up to the lake to have
to have barbecue. No, we can't have it in July, August. Well, then what about September and October? No. The kids are just settling in. They've got brand new classes and they're in a new school. And it just wouldn't be any good to have it in September or October. So, well, what about November or December? Oh, November, December. Are you crazy? People are getting ready for Christmas. Don't you know what shopping is like? People start shopping the end of November. You can't have it in November, December. And there was no good time for the shipping business either. Dan was too busy in the shipping industry to participate. Just the wrong timing for him. Oh, isn't it nice when you see just a Christian? And they're at every meeting, unless they're physically ill and just it's an impossibility. But they're just there. They're there. You can count on them. And if there's conference preparations, they're there. They're down in the kitchen. They're there. And if there's packages to be packaged, they're there. Nice. And as for Asher, now I'm going to skip over Asher. It cuts a little too close to here. It says, "And Asher continued at the seashore and abode in the creeks, doing some trout fishing, and he liked the beach too." That's what breaches is, creeks or cricks. "Asher continued on the seashore." Oh, look at putting your toes in that nice white sand. And oh, everybody needs it. It's therapeutic to have, you need that. And just to sink your toes into that white sand. But Asher, don't you know? There are urgent things to attend to. Sisera is the enemy, and our nation has been called to action. And Deborah's out there, and the 5-star General Barak is gone. And they've called us to go to shoulder with them. Oh, man, it's mighty nice at the beach. I just love, and the water's never been warmer. I like beaches. I grew up on an island. Some islanders are here today. And I love the beaches. And I would have to confess to you that when someone comes to PEI and they have meetings all of July and all of August, no break, 8 weeks, that is just a bit much. Because I'd like to be able to go to the beach and see the sunset and the sandbars, and I have to go to meeting every night. And you say, well, you're in the business. Do you mind it too? My flesh certainly minds it. I think that's Peter. I like the beach. Grew up on it. When Dad was having gospel meetings in the summer, he made sure we were at the beach. He parked his little trailer by a beach or found old cottage by a beach. We grew up on the beach. So when I read this about Asher, I just said, well, Dan and Gilead and Reuben, that's appalling. Their excuses. But I thought there was great legitimacy to the fact that Asher loved the beach. Do you know what I noticed here? Even though Asher said, I can't interrupt my vacation at the seashore for something like that, do you know what the reality was? God's purposes still moved forward. With or without Gad, Dan, Asher, and Reuben. Victory was achieved. God was not the loser. Several thousand years later, the eternal record stands. Who was the loser? Which group would I like to be in the eternal record? Those who chose not to participate, regardless of the reason, or those who did participate in the things of God. Those who were committed. Those who dropped their priorities and made God's things the priority. You see, we can get so bogged down with this life that we have our own set of priorities. My personal set of priorities should be aligned with God's priorities. God's things should be first. paramount in my life. And when they're not, people say, well, when I'm finished college, I'll put God first. Really? Or when I retire. Like right now, you know, it's busy at the corporation. You know what jobs are like? And, you know, we're working hard. And I know that. I've been there, done that. And, you know, like, I can retire. I know I might end up working to 65, but I could retire at 53, 54, depending on how the age and the years of service add up. But, you know, and then I'll give my life to God, and I'll be, you can count on me then, I'll be at all the meetings, and hopefully they'll move me on to the oversight then when I retire. But right now, don't expect me to participate and study for Bible readings. Don't expect me to be involved, because I am a busy businessman. Do you think it's legitimate to reason that way? A committed Christian, I should be a committed Christian at every phase and age of my Christian life. If I'm in university, God's things still come first. If I'm just newly married, God's things still come first. If I've just got a new job, God's things still come first. And all through my Christian life, God's things first. Committed Christian. Deborah's song highlighted the good and the bad. It reminded me of the loss that will be experienced at the judgment seat of Christ. I wonder, is there an opportunity for me to be more involved in spiritual activities? Are there opportunities for me to be more responsible? Will my name be mentioned in a future day as a contributor? Someone who did as much as he possibly could for the Lord? Or am I all talk and very little action? Is the sheepfold my comfort zone? What are my excuses? In light of standing before the Lord, will I want to stand before Him and say, well, Lord, oh, making Nestle Corporation thrive on the market, Nestle, Kraft, you name it, Lord, I really had to put your things aside for a few years because, oh, the corporation went through some pretty tough times. Competition was stiff, Lord. Would you feel comfortable standing at the judgment seat of Christ saying, that's why I wasn't able to contribute as much as I should have? The eternal record doesn't miss a thing. It doesn't gloss over the facts. It does not alter the reality of our lives and the choices we make. We alter the reality of our lives when the eulogy is given at my funeral. People might stand up and say, oh, what a great man he was. So faithful, so consistent, and one thing was first in his life. And the flowery words that sometimes are said out of respect for loved ones don't always measure up to the reality of that individual's life. But God's record is the real record. Now, am I a committed Christian or not? Am I actively engaged in things of eternal significance? You say, I want to see my kids saved. My kids are perceptive. I remember riding around in the truck of a guy, we were listening. He wanted me to check out Kurt Cobain's music. He had the unplugged concert in. And so we're driving around, and you know what he said to me, this unsaved boy? He said, my dad is an elder in the church, in the assembly. He said, I hope if I get saved, I will be more committed to God than my dad is. He said, I know, you see my dad, he gives out the hymns and he's there. But he said, I see my dad at home. He said, I know what my dad lives for. Kids are extremely perceptive. You can lecture your kids and say the things of God, boy, it's time you're getting saved. There's nothing more important. But is my life show that to my child. If I believe in prayer, I'll be at the prayer meetings. If I believe in prayer, I'll be at the prayer meetings. If I enjoy my Bible, I'll be at the teaching meetings. If I tell my child, the Bible is important, daughter, girl, we want to see you say your Bible is so important. She'll know how important it is by how many times she catches me reading my Bible. A committed Christian. Oh, may the Lord help us at this conference to allow our hearts to be searched by the Spirit of God and to cut through the facade and the wrappings, to get down to the real issues of my heart. Am I actively living for things that are of eternal significance? Am I committed to the things of God? I think those who are committed, it's because it's love for Christ. God bless you.